welcome to Unhealthy Men, The Secrets of Early Detection. So welcome to our teleclass, and how this is going to go is first I'll be telling you why I decided to do this teleclass and how we define an unhealthy man, because it is our definition of an unhealthy man. And then we'll talk about the characteristics of unhealthy men. So that's the secrets of early detection. You want to look for these early warning signs so you can guard your time and your energy and your heart. And then I'm going to talk about the things that we might mistake as indicators of an unhealthy man, because there are qualities that are mystifying to us. There are qualities that to us a woman would never do that, or you would never do that, especially not to someone you cared about. And so we'll talk about the characteristics that you might mistake as unhealthy that are actually signs of a perfectly healthy man and something that we need to learn to deal with. And then after that, I'll tell you about the Queen's Code workshop. And then in the last, if I'm on track, the last 10 minutes of the call, I'll be taking questions. And I can't promise to get to everyone's questions because we have lots and lots of people on the call. So first of all, let me tell you why we're having this teleclass, Unhealthy Men, The Secrets of Early Detection. The reason is that for 20 years now, we have been teaching women how to understand healthy men, how to interact with healthy men, how to see his behavior for what it is and not end up with hurt feelings or feeling disrespected. And perhaps most importantly, how do you get what you need from a healthy man? Because most women fail at getting what they need because they go about it the way that they would go about it with a woman. So we've been teaching this for two decades. But what happens from time to time is one of our graduates will do everything that we've taught her, and we'll find out that all the while she's been looking past characteristics that are red flags that we would tell any woman, don't spend your time there, don't spend your energy there, protect yourself. And it's not widely known. It's not widely known how can you tell when a man is an unhealthy man. So I want everybody to have this information, whether they do our workshop or not, whether you want to learn how to deal with healthy men or you just want to be able to identify unhealthy men, I want you to have this information. And so we're doing this teleclass, and then we'll be posting the recording on our website for everybody to be able to listen to it. Now, let me start with unhealthy men. How do we define an unhealthy man? So first I would say that an unhealthy man has reactions and motivations that are the opposite of the norm that we've established since we began studying men in 1991. So reactions and motivations. So both sides, both what is the source of him doing what he's doing, how he's motivated, and how he reacts to what you do or what's happening with you. So an unhealthy man would be a man who has reactions the opposite of the norm that we've been able to establish by studying thousands of men over the last 24 years. Then the next thing to know about an unhealthy man is that you can't change that. At least I would say 99.9% of us are not qualified to make an unhealthy man healthy. We don't have the expertise. We don't have the ability. We don't have the capacity. And why I'm saying this specifically is because, unfortunately, women have a deep-seated belief that if a man really cares about us, if a man really loves us, he will change. And that love will have this magical ability of rehabilitation. And too many women approach unhealthy men as if they're projects. And it's not a good project. Now, I don't recommend approaching a healthy man as if he were a project. He's going to find that really insulting, and it's not going to turn out well. But at least that's not dangerous. That will just leave you single. But it won't leave you in a dangerous situation where you actually could be mentally or emotionally diminished by trying to be in a relationship with an unhealthy man. So given my commitment to empower women, that's what I want to get ahead of. And watch how much you think you can change a man. How much you think, oh, he'll love me so much he'll stop doing that or stop being that way. Then the third thing, and this is really not just how we define an unhealthy man, but why I'm doing this teleclass, is because many women are attracted to unhealthy men. Because of a similarity kind of to bad boy attraction, right? We have this bad boy attraction, which is actually a very primitive response to a perception of strength. And we can mistake meanness as strength or cruelty as strength. And that's just a misperception on our part. And many women will be attracted to unhealthy men and stay with unhealthy men because how he treats her fits with her own idea of her self-worth. So if a woman has a concept of having a low self-worth, then she will engage with unhealthy men as if that's exactly what she deserves. And one of the things that you'll find in interacting with an unhealthy man, your ability to receive will never be challenged. And interacting with healthy men who are oriented around protecting and providing for you, that's always the challenge, is how much can you let them do? How much can you let them give to you? How much can you let them provide? So a healthy man is always going to challenge your ability to receive because of their generosity. An unhealthy man will not challenge your ability to receive. It'll fit right in with how much you think, actually how little you think you ought to get. And if you want to be in a relationship where you feel like you're in control because you're very needed, because you're the one that's going to give and give and give and give and give, even if it isn't valued, even if you're made wrong all the time, you'll be really comfortable in some ways with an unhealthy man. And I don't want that for you. I would hope for every woman that she's in relationships where she's challenged to keep expanding her ability to receive and be a more gracious and more generous receiver all the time. Okay, so let's talk about the characteristics of an unhealthy man. And I'm going to talk about the main characteristics, and then I'm going to talk about some sort of caveats, because, again, you can get confused and think that a healthy man is an unhealthy man when actually something else is happening than him being unhealthy. So I'll be giving you some exceptions, okay? So the first characteristic that you want to pay attention to is that an unhealthy man won't care what you need. Just doesn't care about what you need. Doesn't care whether you're warm, you're cold, you're fed, you're sleepy, you're sick, you're tired. Won't pay any attention to what you need. Won't look for what you need, won't care about what you need, and in fact, things that you say you need, he may invalidate them. He may say that's stupid, or you don't need that, or don't be ridiculous, or yeah, right, like I'm going to do that. So a normal healthy man's response to what women need is, I will if I can. A normal healthy man's response is to want to provide what women need. Now, this is where you can start to get into some of the exceptions that you got to watch out for. So one of the things that we teach you in the Queen's Code Workshop is the hierarchy of instincts. And men will want to provide for you what you need unless providing that threatens something that they're protecting. So if they're protecting their energy, or if they're protecting their time, or if they're protecting their resources, and what you need is going to threaten that, it's going to put it in the danger zone, then their instinct to protect will override their instinct to provide for you. And that's a healthy myth. Now, another thing that you might confuse is when a man is just sexually attracted to you. So I'm not going to go into this in depth because we teach it in the Making Sense of Men book, but if a man is merely sexually attracted to you, he's not charmed and enchanted by you, then his relationship to you is going to be as if you are an object. And it's not because he's a bad man. It's because sexual attraction only wakes up or attracts or appeals to the physical part of a man. In other words, his hunger. And treating you like a refrigerator is consistent with that. And that's true of normal, healthy men. So you have to watch. And that's why I would say, if you have a man who's professing to love you, he says he loves you, he's committed to you, he wants to be with you forever, and then he doesn't care about what you need, you should have alarms go off. Big, loud alarms go off, the kind that have you evacuate a building and hopefully would have you evacuate that relationship. Okay, another really big and common sign, and I'm going to have a caveat for this as well, but in general, an unhealthy man will attack you when you're happy. So I'm just going to pause for a moment so you can feel your way into that. And remember, if it's there, and I would wish that it wouldn't be, but remember when you've been attacked when you are happy. So an unhealthy man will attack you when you're happy. So healthy men want you to be happy. They really do. Now you might think, if they really want me to be happy, then why don't they do the things that make me happy? Well, that's one of the topics in the Queen's Code Workshop. But for what we have available to work on tonight, healthy men want you to be happy. Healthy men are uplifted by your happiness. So they're actually contributed to by you being happy. They're better off by you being happy. And healthy men support you in doing the things that make you happy. Now, I'll tell you an exception to that in a little bit. But in general, healthy men support you in doing the things that make you happy. They want you to have people in your life that make you happy. They want you to have passions in your life that make you happy. They want you to engage in the activities that make you happy. And they'll encourage you to do that. They'll support you in doing that. So that's consistent with a healthy man. So an unhealthy man will attack you when you're happy. He'll criticize you when you're happy. He'll tear into you when you're happy. He'll do something to try to squash you being happy. That's a big sign of an unhealthy man. Now, an unhealthy man, and this is part of the caveat I'm going to give you later, in general, another sign of an unhealthy man is that he'll want to be the sole source of your happiness. So remember, I defined an unhealthy man as a man who has the opposite reactions and motivations of healthy men, so the norm we've established since 1991. So a healthy man will support you in the things that make you happy, with the exception I'm going to give later. An unhealthy man will want to be the sole source of your happiness, will actually get really upset and try to control the amount of time that you spend on things that make you happy. Try to eliminate them from your life. So there's a possessiveness that men have that's about protecting you. And then there's a possessiveness that men have that's about protecting themselves. And that's what you've got to watch out for. So an unhealthy man will be possessive in the sense of that he wants to be the center of your life, and not just the center, the whole of your life, and will eliminate other things in your life that make you happy. That is a sign of an unhealthy man. All right, I'm going to take a breath here. And I just want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how unhealthy men have affected you. I'm sorry that almost none of us grew up with someone defining this for us so we could be aware and conscious and make smart choices from the time we were young. And I'm sorry if just talking about this is causing you pain or sadness. I'm really sorry for that. Now, as part of the caveat I'm going to give to this topic of unhealthy man will attack you, I just sometimes we confuse a man being disgruntled when you're happy. So not attacking you, but just seeming upset or withdrawn when you're happy because something else made you happy. And that's a different problem that I'm going to talk about in a bit. Okay, so the third, and to me, the scariest, the biggest, the most damaging characteristic of an unhealthy man is actually not limited to unhealthy men. It's would be more accurate to say a characteristic of unhealthy people, because women can do this too, and you see it in the news from time to time, and it breaks my heart when I see this. But what it is, and it's a little tricky to talk about, it's a sensitive topic, is that healthy people have an instinctive desire to protect innocence. So when a healthy person encounters innocence in another person, they want to protect that. So it might be an innocence of knowledge, like they're just young and they haven't been exposed to the darker part of life yet, and you're glad of that, and you want to protect that and protect them. It might be experience, like you just want to preserve that innocence because of a lack of experience in some things that may be beyond their age or beyond their capacity to deal with. And it might just be an innocence in their outlook in life. So a person who has great optimism or great faith in life, and there's an innocence about them in their approach to life. So it could be innocence in many forms, and healthy people will have an instinctive desire to protect that. So as I said, unhealthy is the opposite reaction. So unhealthy people enjoy the destruction of innocence. Unhealthy people have an opposite reaction to innocence. They don't want to protect it. They want to destroy it. And they might have some sophisticated explanation about how, you know, they're really serving this person. Baloney. They're actually enjoying the destruction of that innocence, that purity in that other person. And their actions could be physical, mental, emotional. It could just be like getting to exposing them to all this information that's beyond their maturity or their capacities. But it has many, many expressions, and it's just something to watch out for. Healthy people want to protect innocence. Unhealthy people literally enjoy destroying it. It gives them a sense of power to destroy it, where healthy people will be empowered by protecting it. So again, I just I'm sorry. I am sorry if you have been in this situation where you have been, where you've encountered an unhealthy person who set out to destroy your innocence, whether it was your faith or your optimism or your lack of experience or knowledge. I'm so sorry if that has happened to you. And I would hope to restore it. And that's something that I'm really proud of as a possibility for people participating in their programs, is that they're healed of the things that have happened to them because of unhealthy people. And they end up with a model of what a healthy person is. So they know whom to trust and how to interact with a healthy person instead of feeling like they can't trust anybody. And I think that's one of the saddest things I've encountered is when a woman has been impacted by an unhealthy man and sought the protection of a woman and she wasn't there for her and might have even been a collaborator in the destruction of that innocence. And then that woman is left unable to trust either men or women. And usually worst of all, we're left with thinking we can't trust ourselves. I should have known. Why didn't I see it coming? And that's another reason why we're having this teleclass. I want you to be able to see it coming. Now, one other thing I want to say before I go into how we mistake healthy men for unhealthy men is it's a phrase that we heard from a man many years ago, and we usually don't talk about it until one of our most advanced courses, but I would give it to you. And the saying is, you can't tell a wolf from a sheepdog if all you're looking for is teeth. Can't tell a wolf from a sheepdog if all you're looking for is teeth. And so that's one of the terrible consequences of us having been harmed by unhealthy men, is that we just conclude that all men are wolves. All we see are the teeth, and we conclude all men are wolves. And a very small percentage of men are wolves. A small percentage. I would guess in the neighborhood of 3%. Most men are sheepdogs. And what's sad about only seeing wolves is that then we alienate all the sheepdogs. We punish sheepdogs for what wolves have done. And then you're left just protecting yourself. So one of the most important reasons that we do the work that we do to transform the way women relate to men is so that you can actually see sheepdogs. You can see all the men, the plethora of men who are available and even more than willing, would consider it a privilege to protect you and provide for you. And one of the most amazing things is if you think about wolves and sheepdogs, who's most qualified to tell the difference? And what we've seen over the years is that it's sheepdogs. Sheepdogs are the ones who can, at a glance, tell the difference between a wolf and a sheepdog, and between a man who's really no good and a man who's just hurting or angry. And so, again, whether you ever participate in our programs or not, I would encourage you to start paying attention to the men who are trying to protect you and trying to provide for you, and start to relate to them like maybe they're the sheepdogs. And when you bring a man around and one of these men react to that man saying, that guy's no good, that guy's up to no good, should get away from that man, that you really listen. He's trying to protect you. And the question is, will you let him, or are you going to second guess him? Are you going to think you know better, or are you going to think this man is someone that you have the ability to rehabilitate when it's very unlikely that you do? Okay, so if everybody just take a deep breath. You might want to take another one. I've hesitated to do this telecast for a very long time because it's a dicey subject. And I saw when I was checking in that there are men actually listening to me talking. And I want to say I'm also sorry. I'm sorry for the ways that you may have been injured by unhealthy men, because they don't seem to be very prejudiced in who they attack. And I want to say, I'm sorry for that you have probably paid for the actions of unhealthy men, because they leave a very wide wake, a lot of bodies in their paths, and many, many women who then treat all men as if they had the same character as that unhealthy man who hurt them so badly. And so I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way that you may not have been able to be seen by women because of their assumptions about you from their past, and the way that they may have punished you and treated you poorly because of who they thought you were. I think that's one of the most important things that we do in our programs, is we enable women to see men, to not look at every man in front of them through the lenses of the men they've encountered in the past, and miss good men, miss great men, miss men who would be amazing friends, amazing mentors, amazing supporters, amazing husbands and lovers and boyfriends. And I think that's one of the most important things we do. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about how we mistake healthy men for unhealthy men. And one of the biggest sources of mistaking a healthy man for an unhealthy man is the expectation that a healthy man would do what a woman would do. So unfortunately, most women define a healthy man by that he acts like her and reacts like her and is motivated like she is, that he does what she would have done in that situation. And this is what has many women decide that most men are unhealthy. And it's not true. Since 1991, we've been able to establish a norm for men's behavior. And it's just extremely different than what women expect, because men's brains are predominantly organized by testosterone, and they have between 15 and 30 times more testosterone in their bodies than we do, and it creates certain characteristics. And in our courses, we talk about these characteristics being consistent with looking at a man as a hunter and a warrior. So there are hunter characteristics and there are warrior characteristics. And not every man is the same, nor is every woman. We all express ourselves and live on a continuum between masculine and feminine. But if you go looking for characteristics of hunters and warriors in every man, you will find them, even if he would consider himself to be a feminine man. So let's talk of some of these things that that get confused, and we may treat them as red flags and head in the other direction. And when you understand them, they're revealed to be perfectly rational and make sense when you look at the context of dating and mating, of work and family, of being a partner and a teammate. So I have seven of these that I want to share with you, and I'm not going to do them justice because these are topics that we illuminate and teach you how to interact with in the Queen's Code Workshop. So the first one is the opposite of what I was telling you about an unhealthy man. So an unhealthy man will attack you when you're happy. A healthy man wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy, and he will support you in doing the things that make you happy. Now, here's the caveat, the exception that I kept referring to. So if the man in your life can't make you happy, if nothing he ever does is good enough to make you happy, then he will be disgruntled when others make you happy. So if he hasn't been winning in the happy department and someone else is, he's not going to be happy about that. He's just not. And he might attack the time or energy that you spend on that thing because it's making you happy and he can't. And it's just making him feel worse and take it personal that he can't make you happy. And men have the reaction to not making women happy, then it means that they're not good enough. And nobody likes to feel that way. Now, a related factor is that you might think that lying, that a man who lies, is a sign of an unhealthy man. And actually, for the human species, lying is really normal behavior. I have a whole teleclass on that, why men lie and why women lie, that I'm not going to go into. But along the lines of this topic, if a man can't make you happy, then he will switch his focus from making you happy to not upsetting you. And a really useful tool for not upsetting you is just a lie or withhold information. That's a way to keep you from being upset. And it's one of the things that women do when we don't let men make us happy. We actually cause them to shift to don't upset her, don't upset her, don't upset her. And that brings about a whole bunch of very logical behavior that's unpleasant, but we caused that shift. Okay, so next one, you might consider that a man being emotionally unavailable. Emotionally unavailable. I remember when this term first showed up, and it was cracking me up. It was this new way of describing men. Before that, our favorite way was to accuse them of being noncommittal, which is hilarious because it's been revealed in more ways than one that it's actually women who tend to be noncommittal, not men. But emotionally unavailable became a popular way of describing a man that we were rejecting, that he's emotionally unavailable. And honestly, I haven't actually encountered such a man. And I've studied hundreds and hundreds of men directly and thousands indirectly. And what we have seen is it's just that it's normal for men to have a very different relationship to their emotions and to the revealing of their emotions. And what I have found is it actually has to do with how safe are we. Are we safe for a man to be emotional around and to reveal his emotions? So how you listen to a man and how you react to a man will have everything to do with his emotional availability in your presence. And I can't tell you how many men I've had break down in tears around me who they're shocked that they did. I've never cried in front of my wife, and they're crying because it's safe. And that's one of the things that we teach you in the Queen's Code Workshop is how to be safe and how to understand men's relationship with their emotions. Another sign of that might be mistaken as an unhealthy man that isn't is if a man conceals himself, if he conceals his plans, if he conceals facts about his life, if he doesn't share details. So women can mistake a man who's we might call him non-communicative as an unhealthy man because he isn't sharing a lot of details with us. And it's just not true. That's not the sign of an unhealthy man. completely healthy man, a typically healthy man, his natural relationship to reveal himself will be to not. This is the warrior at work, and it's normal and it's healthy. And it's upsetting to us because we interpret the withholding of details as an indication that someone doesn't trust us, because that's how women are about details. We reveal details to the people we trust and not to the people we don't. So one of the things we teach you in the Queen's Code workshop is how to listen to earn that trust and to provide the space for a man to come up with those details, to cough up those details when that's not normal for him. It's really an expression of human spirit and of being, feeling very safe, thinking he's safe and experiencing being safe, that will have a man provide a lot of details. Now, another characteristic that gets interpreted as unhealthy is if a man seems controlling. And this is another one that's really tricky because it's in a range, it's a gradient. So a man who's completely controlling, he's trying to control everything you do, well, the first thing you want to do is escape that control. You want to get away. That's not going to be good for you. But the desire to control is completely normal, and it has to do with needing to succeed. So one of the things that I found is really different between the masculine and the feminine is the masculine has a profound awareness of the limits of time and energy and resources and wants to succeed at anything that they put their mind to in order to conserve those resources. So the more factors they can control in order to ensure their success, they're going to want to do that. And that is completely normal and healthy. Now, one of the things that we teach you in the Queen's Code workshop is how to give him control of providing what you need. In other words, stop trying to control the process. Just be the one that defines the result. So we propose that maybe a relationship between the feminine and the masculine is that the feminine defines the problem. The feminine defines the result, and then the masculine is the one who actually loves to solve that problem and provide that result. Now, the fifth quality would be competitive. Often a man being competitive, if not considered unhealthy, is at least considered immature. And that's another thing that women accuse men of is of being immature. And we think that's a kind of unhealth, a lack of maturity. And I completely disagree. competition is normal. Competition is going to be there in a normal, healthy man. Now, doesn't necessarily mean he competes at everything. He'll compete in the things that are important to him. He'll compete in the things that define who he is. He'll compete in the areas that he enjoys. And competition's great. And just one of the things that women need to learn is how do you work with competition instead of competition. So when you register into the Queen's Code workshop, you receive as a bonus a 3-session bonus teleclass. And one of the sessions in that bonus teleclass is called You Win When He Wins. And it teaches you how to work with the competitive nature of men to get what you need, to set him up to win at providing for you and end up having more provided for you in a way that he's really happy about, that leaves him just wanting to provide more. While I'm at it, another bonus that you receive when you register that you can download and listen to is called Loving More by Sacrificing Less. And it's a recording of a live workshop that we created in order to try to get ahead of how women tend to give way too much. And I don't mean give less as a manipulation. I mean we give too much for our own good. We sacrifice ourselves and give too much. And it leaves us in bad shape. It has us stop being the people that our men fell in love with and couldn't wait to provide for in the first place. So that's something else you receive when you register. Okay, let's keep going. We have number 6 and number 7. Oh, I am so right on track here. I get so excited when my timeline's working. So the 6th thing that could be mistaken as an unhealthy man is a man tuning you out. And this is a common complaint that women have about men is, oh, he just tunes me out. He just totally tunes me out. And, you know, we have new expressions now that we accuse men of. We accuse them of being like, oh, he must just be high-functioning Asperger's because he tunes me out all the time. And so we'll, you know, throw around medical terms in frustration and to try to actually diagnose the unhealthiness of this man. And it's a big mistake. Because men don't tune out women. They don't do that. Their brains do that. Their brains do that naturally, and it's a function of what they're committed to, that when a man commits himself to something, he commits all of himself to it, and his brain screens out anything that's irrelevant. This, by the way, is why it's amazing to be listened to by a man, because when he's listening to you, that's all he's doing. He's just listening to you. So one of the things that we'll teach you in the Queen's Code workshop is how to get a man's attention so that you're completely tuned in instead of tuned out, and how to relate to when you are tuned out, how to see what it is he's committed himself to. And when you start to pay attention to what men have committed themselves to, you actually can see how much they're focused on protecting you and providing for you. And instead of feeling hurt because you're tuned out, you can actually be really moved by how committed he is to what he's producing for you. Now, the 7th and last thing that I want to talk about that could get mistaken as an unhealthy man and is not, is if a man needs a lot of appreciation. If it seems like he needs appreciation for everything. So there are things that you may be used to doing and may even resent that they're your responsibility or accountability, and you do them day after day after day with no appreciation, and then when he does it, he expects a parade. That's what it seems like. And we get so mad about that. And we might think that's unhealthy to need so much appreciation. If we don't go that far, we'll think it's really immature or insecure to need so much appreciation. And we would be wrong. Needing that much appreciation is just consistent with the way that men pay attention to energy. Like I said before, the masculine is extremely aware of the limitations of time and energy and resources. And just from purely survival instinct, he's going to be paying attention to getting at least as much energy back as he expended. And that's something that he would continue to do. If he gets more energy back from something than he expended, then those are the things he's going to be enthusiastic about doing and even hope to get to do and even be territorial about, no, that's my job. I get to do that. And that's because of the effect of appreciation. Appreciation returns energy to men for what they've provided for us, and it's what makes it a good deal. Now, they will protect and provide for us because of who they are. They'll love protecting us and providing for us because of our appreciation for them doing that. So, again, the need for appreciation is not the sign, a sign of being unhealthy. It's actually completely consistent with healthy men. Now, one of the things that we've noticed is when you understand why men do what they do, it's easier to appreciate them. Because one of the things we reveal in the beginning of the Queen's Code workshop is the point of view that we have towards men and how we're always comparing men to this impossible ideal. And that's actually the source of most of our troubles. And it's the source of our difficulties in appreciating men, because we're always looking for what they did to have been perfect, and the perfect amount, and the perfect way, and at the perfect time. And if it's anything less than perfect, we have a really difficult time expressing appreciation. And so they get no points. If it wasn't perfect, they get no points. And as one man said, how come I never get 80 points? Why do I get 0 or 100? I never get 80 points. So being able to see men for who they are, and their good intentions, and their commitment, and their love, and their care, and be able to appreciate all that when things are not perfect, allows appreciation to flow much more easily. And as we demonstrate later in one of our advanced courses, you actually will get something more close to perfect and even better than you could imagine it through appreciation than you ever will through criticism or withholding appreciation. Okay. So, wow. There's so many amazing people here with us. I recognize so many names. And then there's so many others that I don't, and I'm just thrilled that you're here. This is awesome. What I'd like to do now is see if anyone has a burning question, and I'm happy to take questions about healthy men and unhealthy men, and I'm happy to take questions if there's something you need to know to be able to decide if the workshop is for you. So if you have a question, I'm actually going to... Oh, boy, we have a lot of questions. Okay, so we're going to start with Sandy in Colorado. And, Sandy, you have the microphone.
Okay. I just want to know kind of a quick thought of how do you determine when a man is actually truly interested in being pursuing you and being in a relationship or wanting to continue to date? Or if they're just looking for, you know, just to date a lot of people and, you know, or a sexual relationship. I pretty much try to go by their actions and not by their words, because I feel like there's a lot of, you know, sweet talking of, hey, you want this, hey, I want that, but then it turns the other way pretty quickly.
Well, I can tell you what men have told us, and that is when they are interested in a relationship with a woman, what they do is get involved in her life. So they don't just want to be there for the booty call hours. They want to be there for events in her life. They want to be there to hear about her wins, her success. How did her day go? They actually want to be part of your life, not just have a visit once a week that might end up with a really dessert-like ending. So I think you're on the right track, watching their actions, and watch what they're inviting you to do. What are they asking you out for? What kind of time with you are they asking for? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that question. You're welcome. Sorry to cut you off there. Nancy in Atlanta, you have the microphone.
Hi. How can you tell the difference between a healthy man and an unhealthy man when they offer their help? Because I've experienced the unhealthy men that throw it back in my face if the relationship doesn't work out, as like, look what I've done for you, whether it be a neighbor helping me or, you know, a relationship. And is there a way to tell the difference when someone's offering something?
Well, actually, what you're describing isn't what I would call an unhealthy man. That isn't one of the characteristics of an unhealthy man. More, it's the actions of a man who didn't experience being appreciated at the time that he provided that. So when a man experiences enough appreciation for what he did, then when the relationship is over, you're not in debt to him. You've already given him sufficient appreciation. And what you're talking about is an expression that comes from men who didn't feel appreciated.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a
great question. Thanks for illuminating that, because that's one of the mistakes that we make, is we think something's unhealthy that isn't. And Penny in Chicago, trying to move around the country, you have the microphone. Hi, Penny.
Oh, hi. I'm not in Chicago, but it's great that you think I am. Anyway, it's along the same lines of appreciation, but if you find that you're offering, you're giving the appreciation, but then they're not receiving it for whatever reason. And one particular person has told me, well, it's hard for me to receive compliments or to receive different sorts of things. And it occurs to me a lot like I'm giving the appreciation, but he's not receiving it. And then it makes me not want to give it. And then I complain that he received it the wrong way. So now I'm complaining that he did it wrong. It's a horrible mess.
Yeah, that is a horrible mess, and it's a really good question. There's a couple of different ways that you can approach it. We have a teleclass called The Appreciation Equation that talks about currencies of appreciation, and that's one of the mismatches that often happens in our interactions with each other, where how we're expressing appreciation isn't actually how someone experiences being appreciated. And an example of that is public acknowledgement. I recently asked a room full of people, for how many of you is public acknowledgement actually not a form of appreciation? You'd rather pass on that. And over half of the people in the room raised their hand. And it's a common ritual in our society to publicly appreciate people. So one of the things that you can do with this particular man is you can ask him. You can ask him, so how would you like to be appreciated? I need to appreciate you for what you provided. How would you like me to express that appreciation? And then put the imaginary duct tape over your mouth and just wait. Just wait for him to tell you. It may take a long time for him to tell you. Now, another thing that you might have to do that I had to do with my husband that he refers to as when I tricked him. And he's very grateful for me tricking him, because what I did is I expressed for him what it was like for me when he didn't receive my appreciation, similar to what you were just saying to me, and that it actually hurts me when he doesn't receive my appreciation. It's as if he doesn't believe me and discredits me, and I feel disrespected. And like my gift to him is being turned down. And I said, do you think you're the only person that wants to give in this relationship? And that just had him stop dodging appreciation. And he every once in a while still has a reaction, a dodgeball reaction, but I'll just give him a look and he'll just stop and receive the appreciation. So that's something you could try as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Penny. That was awesome. Okay, we are out of time, so I'm sorry that I didn't get to everybody's questions, and thank you for raising your hand. I love your participation. And I just, again, would just like to leave you with that most men are healthy men, and they may have been tremendously emasculated by the women in their life, which makes them more gun-shy, more reticent, tentative in their interactions with women, and that's not unhealthy. That's more like post-traumatic stress syndrome. And what we've seen is, not to belie what PTSD is for people who've really been in traumatic situations, but what we've seen is that men can recover. We can recover from having been emasculated and become more and more confident and more generous. And if you have given up emasculating men, or you're interested in giving up emasculating men, then these healthy men who just have been swiped at a lot can recover, and can recover quite beautifully. And that's also really distinct from an unhealthy man. So again, I encourage you to use the characteristics that I gave you at the beginning of the call to protect yourself and take care of yourself and save your energy for 95 to 97% of the population of men who respond to how you're being with them very beautifully.